It's time for Geocache Talk. Whether you are at work, in the car, or wherever you are, we hope you enjoy this show about the great sport of geocaching. If you're watching live on YouTube, you can be part of the adventure tonight in the chat room and participate with others as they watch the show. If you are listening later, please give it a like and subscribe on your favorite podcasting app so that you can get all of the weekly Geocache Talk goodness. If you have not become a patron of the Geocache Talk Network, what are you waiting for? Patron levels start as low as a bison tube level at $3 a month. The sign up is easy. Simply go to the Geocache Talk website and click on the Become a Patron button or go to patreon.com/geocachetalk. Patrons now get the famous blackout coin, invites to special events, and other really great items throughout the year. Become a patron today. Have you subscribed to FTF Magazine yet? FTF Magazine is the number one geocaching magazine available. It is a quarterly magazine that you can be part of. Submit your geocaching milestones and adventures to be published. FTF Magazine is also interactive with puzzles to solve and the hunt to find Spartacus. If you can solve the puzzle or find Spartacus, then you will be entered in to win a special pack tag. Every new subscription, you will receive a special swag pack. Subscribing is easy. Just visit FTF's website, ftfgeo.com. Don't miss out and subscribe today.
Logwork, the creators of the fantastic logbook, made with genuine write-in-the-rain paper, the logbook's designed for the micro-containers of the present and future, geared towards the hider who'd rather go caching than doing cache maintenance. Find them at logwork.com, that's logwerk.com.
Big thanks to Derek of Baker Six Clan for the graphics, and our new patrons, returning patron, D. Cryptoman and Juanita. And tonight we are honoring the M's, not the M&Ms. So settle down over there, John. Tonight is the M's. So first up, we've got Massachusetts. That's Doug. And then I have Winnipeg. That's Manitoba. So there's your M. Is Ken. Maryland. We've got Barbara and Nels. And I know Nels is. I saw a note from him. He's going to Cache Fest, Oklahoma. We'll get to a note on that here in a moment. And then our Michigan group, we got Peter. Got to see Peter a couple weeks ago at Texas Challenge. So he's in Michigan, by the way, Jesse, and he finished the Texas Challenge. So just want to point that out. And then Keith, also Michigan, Neil, and you know, his buddy lives in the basement, and then Kathleen also at Michigan. So, then we got Minnesota. We've got David, we have Joy, we have DMN Rec and Robert and Michelle and Jane. And Jane has been with us since the very beginning. Well, welcome. Yeah. Bob Billy. You're exactly right. He's living down in the basement there.
Bob Billy's a good friend. Miss that guy.
And M&M from M. There you go. So there's the M's. We got the M's tonight. And M&M from M, it makes he's the epitome of M&M from, he's the perfect M. Well, welcome. Thanks, Nick, for being with us tonight.
Thank you.
Nick and I have done podcasts on Cashly since 1.0 back in the day, 2016. So I guess we've been doing this. You've been doing it about maybe longer than eight years. It's 2015. So it was 9 years, I guess, right?
Yeah. And Cashly was in development for, I don't know, a year before that. So been working on it for at least 10 years.
Almost 10 years. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I remember our first, back when I was on Cash and Release. The short-lived podcast, I had Nick on and we talked about Cashly back then. That was awesome.
Yeah.
So got a lot to talk about tonight with 8.0. We're going to get that, cranked up here in a moment, but we've got a couple of notes of news. So let's do that first. Start with John. John, you got an update on a mega coming up.
Oh, man. There are so many cool megas this summer. And And, you know, I wish I won the lottery so I could actually go to every single mega, because, I mean, like, how cool would that be? The one I want to talk about is one that's in beautiful Western New York, and it's coming up on Saturday, May 18th. There's going to be site events Thursday to Sunday, including site events, including, I'll say, a site event with pizza, you know? Oh. So, I mean, like, that's pretty darn cool by itself. But, you know, when you combine pizza, bonfires, flash mobs, and pancake breakfast, that's pretty cool, you know? This mega event, like I said, it's going to take place in Western New York in the southern tier of New York State. It's about an hour south of Buffalo. So, you know, great place. You got Eternal Flame Falls nearby. You got Pennsylvania's oldest cache nearby. And one of the coolest things is this event's in its 17th year. And if you want to come, there's a bunch of beautiful scenery. I actually drove nearby it.
Wow.
You know, this past week, almost hit a bear. Didn't hit the bear, but almost hit a bear, you know, right by Allegheny State Park. So I'm thankful I didn't hit the bear there. But there's going to be a lot of regular, even large size caches. So if you're somebody who likes large size caches, you know, you're going to be pretty happy with this one. And another very cool and unique thing about this one, there's night caches, a dozen night caches in Allegheny State Park on that one. So I know I'm a big fan of that, but another good news is there's plenty of cabins and tent sites still available. So, you know, go visit Allegheny State Park Geopash, ASP Geobash on May 18th. And let me bring up a graphic on here too, that I thought was like really cool on that side as well too. But yeah, you can see the GC code on here too. And oh man, for so many people, it's such a cool location and there's so many cool things around. And one thing I got to plug, if you're going around there, is the National Comedy Center in Jamestown, New York. It's such a cool place. And I don't know how many people, do you guys watch Curb Your Enthusiasm here or anybody ever hear that show?
I have seen it. Yes.
I've seen it.
So in the final episode, and this isn't a spoiler, but one of the people look for a recipe from a restaurant and they call and they say their name is Journey Gunderson, right? Well, the real Journey Gunderson is actually the executive director at the National Comedy Center. So very cool thing. Cool. So go there and you could meet Journey and have a good time too. But yeah, so many cool things on that one. So
I was trying to find, I have an ASB coin from years ago that somebody gave me. So it's a great mega. It's an outdoorsy one. So, you know, that's cool.
One day I'll get to go.
Yeah.
Oh man. You know, Jesse, you got to get your entry trip into New York State, you know, this summer. And then after you do that, man, you got to come back, get more counties, have more fun.
Yeah. I'll clip it this summer. Actually, I'm going to go deep into it, but we'll discuss that one.
Yeah.
I have a cache I need to go find there.
Nice. Yep. Oh, Abe will be there. Cool. Yeah.
Awesome.
No, that's awesome. Thank you for that update. Another quick update, and then we're going to get into the meat tonight because we got a lot to cover tonight. So just want to mention that Cache Fest Oklahoma, the deadline for packages, we passed by the Friends of yesterday. So hopefully you didn't miss that opportunity. That's going to be really cool. But May 12th is the deadline for packages. So if you want a package and everybody asks, there's always a question. It's sort of like the question that Nick always gets, why can't he do an Android one? Same question you've gotten for 10 years now. But the same question always comes up. Why do you have the cutoff for packages so early when the event's in July and you're cutting it off in May? And, of course, the answer is, we have to get everything to the manufacturers of the coins. We can't do it at the last minute because we have to send it to them. They have to make the coins. Then they have to ship them. That takes time, and you can't wait to the last minute. Otherwise, you can't hand somebody their coin at the event. So that's the answer to all that.
Yeah.
Every time. Sorry. It's the way it goes. Now, if we could make our own, that would be really cool, but we can't. So we have dedicated people that, you know, companies that do that for us. So there you go. All right. We want to start getting into, and this is good timing. Cashly 8.0 came out 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Two weeks ago tomorrow. Yep.
Yeah. 2 weeks ago tomorrow. So, and I know you've been busy. So, I guess why don't we start with the, I guess the genesis of 8.0. We knew it was coming out. We talked about it last time, I think, or alluded to the fact that an 8.0 was going to come out. So I guess kind of give people sort of the a little bit of background on how we ended up at 8.0 and why you did what you needed to do for that.
Sure. So to be honest, it's taken longer than I had hoped. But you know, the way things are, mm-hmm. where it's a side project for me. And yeah. I have a family, I have a full-time job. It took a year and a half or longer to finally be released. And, you know, with development, there's bugs you find, and there might be a bug that somebody finds that is incredibly hard to figure out how it's happening, yeah. or take a long time to fix, or that opens a whole nother can of worms of multiple bugs that need to be fixed. So sometimes when people say, well, can you tell us a release date? It's impossible for me to say, you know, I'm going to release it on this date unless I've completely finished development. It's approved by Apple. And then that's when I can say a release date. So the longest time people were asking, I just couldn't say because we were still fixing bugs and I was still finishing some of the features. So, and maybe we'll touch on this later, but yeah, Cashly 8.0 moves into a subscription model.
Yeah.
So that is bringing in some new features under the Cashly Pro kind of umbrella. And there's three subscription that it provides, and one of them is just maps only. The other two are a monthly subscription and a yearly subscription, and those are for Cashly Pro, which includes the maps, and then a few other big features and additional features that will be coming in future versions. So, go ahead.
Go ahead. I just want to say real quick is we are going to, for people, just to let you know for tonight, we're going to talk mostly about 8.0, or yeah. I guess we're 8.02. We are going to talk later on about 8.1. We want to let people know what's going to be coming up. And So you had mentioned, I think even in the last time we had you on, that you were, even at that time, starting to get to the point. And I guess you could kind of let people, you could kind of explain better than what I'm going to say, which was you were kind of needing to get to a subscription base because costs were getting to be an issue.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's, and to be honest, I guess I'll say it out loud, which was, I think it's dirt cheap. I don't know, Jesse, you think,
Yeah, I mean, what is it? $15 a month, $15 a year, I think that is the thing. $15 per year is like $1.25, you know, dollar something, super cheap. And like, there's some people in our show that have never even used Cashly.
Yeah.
So $15 a year, that's ridiculous. That's stupid cheap. But I mean, like, people are thinking, if anybody is in here thinking, why Cashly? Go try Cashly. You'll see. It's the only thing any of us ever cash with. I mean, I don't want to go all the way backwards like Cashly One, right? But we're talking about the improvements. So some people sitting here that haven't used Cashly, they're going to be a little lost when they hear all these improvements because sure. they don't realize everything all the other ones have done up until this point. But I can't imagine Cashly now without, like, I wouldn't change from iPhone mainly because of Cashly. Like, I would have to learn how to cash all over again. Yeah. It does everything you need it to do. So
And I got to add on this one. I mean, I gave you my money already, Nick, for the 15.0. One of the things, and I got to give Nick a big shout out because I know one of the features I love about Cashly and I use, and I can't tell you how many times Cashly's enhanced my vacations and traveling, especially when I pop it up and I see that FTF icon for a cache that hasn't been found. Oh, yeah. I mean, that is well worth it right there. I can't tell you how many times when I do that and I find a cache on vacation, one time hiking on a mountain in the Adirondacks, and I was just like, man, the highlight of my trip, thanks to Cashly. Thank you, Nick.
Yeah. FTFs, lonely caches. I mean, we could spend. Well, we have. There's old shows. Go back, watch the old shows.
Yeah, but go back, watch all our shows about caching.
Yeah, they're great. Somebody asked, you know, do you not use the geocaching app? First of all, we're not bashing HQ's app.
No,
we're not. No. However, there's a difference in casual users and kind of power users, right? Yeah. Like power cachers, I would say. I don't mean power trails, but I mean people that have been caching for a long time. You're going to find some things lacking in the basic app that HQ has to go for the whole everybody, right?
Yeah.
Which is mostly new people every year. But if you develop your own style of caching, it's going to be hard to be limited to a basic app. You're going to want to try something else. And that's kind of, and it's evolved even from that, right? Like Nick is really good about listening to people and adding new things into it. So if you haven't done caching before, just kind of hang on. You're going to hear some new features, but there's a crap ton of features. I know that's a technical term, right? But crap ton of features that are already in there that you may not even have access to before this. So, yeah, we can't do the whole cache sales pitch. We're just going to show about the newest improvements. So,
absolutely.
And I think one of the things too I want to mention, I usually try to mention this at the beginning, is that we're iPhone users. If you have an Android, there are apps out there. We don't do the opposite. I know Android users tend to bash iPhones. We don't do the opposite. We're above that. We don't do that. We've mentioned before, you know, I'll save Nick from having to do it, but you can't, they're completely different worlds. You'd have to, they're completely different development paths, different. You can't develop one and then try to hope that you can sort of jimmy it into one or the other. You can't do that. There are ones out there. Good luck. Go find you a good one. There's some good ones out there,
but that's not what we're talking about tonight.
Yeah.
And there are tools. So if I would have started at the start and used something called like React Native, there is platforms that you can write code and then it kind of writes the code underneath for both platforms, but okay. I didn't start that way. I started iOS. I'm an iOS developer. I don't develop for Android. So when you're so deep into an app and you've developed it for 10 years, to go down the road of people saying, well, there's things that, you know, can write it for both. Well, you know, at this point it's just not something that I am interested in, or I can't split it off into just an Android version at this point.
Absolutely. Right. Especially most people don't know, Nick, Cachely is not your full-time job, right?
True. Yeah.
It's my job. Yeah. I think all of us don't really touch on the real jobs on these kind of things. But yeah, I do have a full-time job that's completely non-geocaching related. So,
what a bummer. Isn't it a bummer that we have to have real jobs?
Yeah.
Well, on top of that, Nick's not single. He's got a wife and family, so he wants to spend a little time with them once in a while. That's right. So.
Yes. These last 2 weeks have been a little rough because I've been a few late nights trying to, you know, handle the 8.0 release, but yeah, it's slowing down.
Yeah.
Are you telling us that a software release came out with bugs? I can't believe that. That's never happened before.
It's disappointing to me as well, but yes, it happened. Yeah.
If any software release ever came out without bugs, they're just lying. That's just not.
Even
that's
people
not
like Apple. Works. I mean, you hear like major Apple bug that's affecting your phone, you know, upgrade now. So it's, I don't feel that bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to get into now some of the big features of 8.0, or, you know, and then we'll kind of mention as we go some of the things that as we go through the list. I know Jesse and I have already been, you know, I've been able to sort of field test. I know Jesse's done a little bit of field testing on Pro, so we'll have to talk about that. I do want to mention, I think we'll probably mention this through the night, and I want you, Nick, to take the opportunity, because I know you would want to, which is not only you doing all this, but you've got such an incredible team that works on this. So I guess let people know, and you don't have to mention names, I guess, because you got quite a few, but I think the thing that I know is important is that you have basically a whole team of people not only testing but also doing some of the support for you. So
yeah,
do you want to talk about your team a little bit maybe?
Sure. And I'm going to look up the number of people here that we have. So we have about 30, 35 beta testers that each version that I put out, development version, they'll be testing it. They'll send me feedback, cool. You know, bugs that they find. And then a number of those people, I think I have 23, they're actually on Slack. So we have a Slack channel where we're talking back and forth. It just makes communication easier. People will upload, you know, a screenshot, a video, something like that, saying they found a bug. And then now, since 8.0 has been released, a lot of those channels in our Slack have become, you know, somebody said this on Facebook. Can you respond to it? Is this really a bug? Or can you, you know, questions about those kind of things. So it's a really good communication channel that we have
through
Slack. And yes, they do a huge amount of the support on the Facebook page. And that is so appreciated by me because I also have a support email that I've been, you know, having to handle. I'm the only one that handles that. There's a support forum. Right. So my beta testers jump on there as well as Facebook, and they, you know, they can answer quite a few of the questions. And then, you know, sometimes for specific questions or bugs or features that are being requested, they'll defer to me. But yeah, it takes a huge weight off my shoulders to have them for that. And I also have volunteer translators the various languages that we have translated. So, and even after 8.0, I've had a couple more people say, you know, it's not translated into Spanish. Can I help with that? And then another one, I think Danish, another guy volunteered for that. So I've had, I think, three more languages will be coming really soon for Cashly as well. So all volunteers, and I greatly, greatly appreciate it.
Wow.
No, that is awesome. Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk about, or I guess you mentioned right now is I had one where I'd found a cache and it wasn't flipping the county over.
Yeah.
And so I put a note in the Cashly users group and yeah, you know, and that's the other thing is people are so good about, asking me what I think are the right questions. You know, they're so good at it that they're like, did you check this? It's like, yeah, I checked that. Okay. Check this. And like, oh, so then in hearing them talk about it, I was like, well, I'll delete my log and I'll just re-add it. And sure enough, for some reason that flipped the county from red to green. So, but even the initial item, which I think we probably want to start with, which is for many Cashly users, when you first get to 8 and you try to go look at your list of all your caches you found, you need to know, I guess that's something to let people know, is if you're going to 8.0 from, and you've been on Cashly for a while, you're going to pull up and you're going to have, it's going to ask you for your import. So
for counties or DeLorme. Yeah.
Yeah. For DeLorme or for counties. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's different than something like Project GC that has a whole database of everybody's finds. Cashly doesn't have that. And even though there's an API, I give the example of somebody who has 30,000 finds.
Yeah.
The API can only receive 50 logs at a time for our API request. And so I would have to sit there and grab 50, the next 50, the next 50. And it would take quite a long time based on how many finds somebody has to actually pull down all those. So the alternative is to have somebody get their MyFinds GPX file from, you know, the pocket query section.
Yeah.
So, and I admit this was one of the places that we didn't communicate as well about how to do that. We did put it in the help docs and clearly spelled it out in there, but we realized people don't always look at help docs. They don't look in the app for the help button and then go search for that. So now in 8.0.2, there's a little button that says like, why are my caches not here? Or why are my finds not here? And if you tap that, it will pop up the help doc for that and talk about how to create that MyFind GPX. And then they can go download and import that.
It's
so
super easy to do though. I mean, iPhone, so it's going to work the same for all of us.
Yeah.
It's super easy to do. And most people that have been caching for a while have done a pocket query for MyFinds before.
Yeah. And I guess the one caveat is that if you are a basic geocaching user, which I assume most people are not, if they're wanting to import like DeLorme or something like that,
right?
You can't create a MyFinds GPX. That's not a basic user feature. Because Pocket Query, it's part of the Pocket Queries, and that's a premium membership.
The premium option. Membership item. Yeah, it's typical. And Jesse, don't say anything about this to me, but yeah, I just did it and didn't think about reading any notes. I just blew right through all that. It's like, wait a minute, what do I need to do? I need to go back.
Come on, we're geocaching.
And I do read
the description.
Exactly. It's in there. Tells you what to do.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, and that was like you said, easy enough to do. And it can import, you know, I don't have many. I know Jesse probably didn't, you're a lot more than I do, but it probably didn't take very long to import.
No,
8 or 10,000.
There's no time at all to do it. I did it on my phone in like 2 minutes or something. I don't know. It was an extremely small amount of time. I don't know how long it was, but yeah. It took nothing to do, and they were in there, and it's all good to go.
Yep.
So I guess since we started to talk about counties, I know Jesse and I are very excited about counties. So,
it's one of those features you didn't know you needed. Like Cashy before had everything I did every day in it.
Yeah.
And I'm always surprised when Nick's like, yeah, I got a new update. Come, you know, he'll let us know. And I'm like, what could you possibly, I've got everything I need. I've got everything. I mean, I cash and we're into caching, right? We're on a show and everything else. We cash all around the world and stuff. I'm like, I don't need anything else. And you're like, well, here's what I'm working on. I'm doing these things. I'm like, well, crap, I need that. When I heard about the counties, I was like, oh my God, yes, that's awesome. But I mean, like, you don't even realize that you can add anything more to it, and then boom. And I know you get this from people, right? Like, you're not just sitting in your basement trying to come up with ideas all the time. People communicate with you and tell you things, but this is the one I was the most excited about because I tried to stay away from it for years, but now I'm into county caching. So it's, you know.
Yeah. And like you just said, it was definitely a user suggestion. And I have a giant list of user suggestions and, you know, just kind of push the important ones towards the top and then look at that list when I'm trying to do a new version. And this has been on the list for quite a while.
Yeah.
So
I mentioned before the show, and I won't go into a long description about it, but I was going to go do a thing related to CashFest. And I called an audible, and I was like, well, I'm in Louisiana and I got some free time. I'm going to go grab some counties. I don't have all the counties in Louisiana. So I did the Jesse version of caching, which was just on the fly, man, it was so nice to pull up Cashly and go, oh, look, I'm in this county, or I'm going to be about to be in this county. It's red. Boom. I can pick up. Boom. I can look through the list. I can grab a cache. I go and found one. It was at one of them was, you like this, John? Cashly only for US. Oh, no, not at all. We work anywhere, yeah. Right?
Yep.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
And as far as the counties, counties and regions, we have quite a few countries that are added in there as well. Canada is one of the ones that does not have that yet. And I'm still looking for a good data source for that. And people have suggested just using the data from OpenStreetMaps. Right. And that's probably the route that I'll go. So that will be coming soon.
Is that for provinces?
Yeah, but I mean, the regions and counties within those provinces.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. Cause I know, Canada and Australia are two of the big ones that have had for years.
Hey Nick, one question I want to ask, and I don't think we've asked it yet. Or anybody in the chat, what's the minimum iOS version needed for Cashly 8.0?
Sure. It's iOS 14.
Okay.
So I bumped that up. I think in 7, I think it was iOS 12. And then I bumped it up because there was quite a few APIs in iOS that I really wanted to include. And I'm not going to go into that, just boring stuff, but just makes it easier, database things, design things, buttons, just various things that when you don't make a minimum version, you have to do code saying, if somebody's on iOS 12, do this. If they're on 12 or above, do this other thing, you know, and it just makes more code and a worse experience for the people that don't have that version. So I think iOS is on 17 now and going to be 18 in September. So I think most people will have 14, and there might be a few devices. If somebody is on some old iPad, they probably can't upgrade. But most people nowadays should be able to do 14.
Oh man. Yeah. And you're making me think I got to try it on my iPad too. Cashly, I love on my phone and I love on my iPad as well.
Yeah.
One of the things I should have pointed out too is that if you're asking questions in the chat room, please continue. We are keeping a note on those. Jesse's sort of managing that, and he's making little notes for us. And we'll go back to those questions here shortly.
Yeah.
So, you know, keep asking and we're going to make notes and we're going to get to all your questions tonight. So to wrap up what I was saying,
which we will get to, is somebody asking for help on something. Other people have already jumped in to help them.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's perfect. I mean, there's a lot of overlap, right, between this and
Cassie's
and everything else. So that's exactly what you get with Cassie, though. People are, and I'm sure you're not paying your beta testers $100,000 a year, right? Because you've got that kind of
budget. But
I mean, that kind of does speak to people that are volunteering to do this kind of thing. That speaks to their belief in that product, right? Like,
yeah,
they love people that do Cassie love Cassie. And again, I even forget that there's other apps, even though we interview people, because I just automatically go to Cassie. That's what I do. So,
yeah.
But many people are like that. You get a lot of help with Cassie too. So,
absolutely.
I know it sounds like we're selling Cassie. We're really not selling Cassie. We're bringing Nick on because it's a good public service to do for geocaching. But
yes,
we're not trying to sell you on anything, I swear.
But it's so hard to say bad things about Cassie. Like, in fact, Cassie is in my top row, third app over Cassie.
Perfect. It's on the front of mind, right?
Assume a lot of things because we do this all the time, talk about stuff all the time, and we kind of forget sometimes, like Cassie, your premium membership, and Project DC. We just assume that everybody does those things. That's the basics of really getting into caching, and it would be so much harder if I didn't have those tools.
Yep.
One of those persons helping, David. Thank you, David Levine, for helping.
Yeah,
buddy.
David jumped in helping already.
Yeah, David's helping out on there too. And there's several people in here helping. So
David's one of the beta testers. So appreciate his help. Yep.
Thanks, David. So to wrap up and so we move on next segment, it was just the fact that I was able to find these counties. And in the past, what I would do is, which I would still do on a more of a various basis, which was Cache Tour. I'd use Cache Tour and I'd use Project GC to sort of build my list. So this was so great and it would flip. I mean, I was not expecting it. I didn't, you know, I'm glad it did, but as soon as I would refresh, it would show that the county was green now. So I'm like, sweet. So I'm just going along grabbing
county caching.
Yeah.
That's just the best resource you can have for county caching.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really
I've literally taken paper in my car and like marked out the counties on a map as I drove through them when I was county caching. I know that's not the best way in the world to do it, but hey, you know what? You got to do what you got to do, right?
Yeah.
The other one that came up as we go through the different 8.0s, of course, was DeLorme. That's one that people, people comment in the notes too, because that was something that I know you had on your list and you were finally able to sort of incorporate DeLorme, right?
Yep.
Because I haven't decided whether I'm happy about this or not, because one, I've always had the excuse not to do DeLorme because there's no easy way to do it.
Yeah. Yep.
I've already checked DeLorme for all my states around. I already know what I need. And I'm like, I can't start DeLorme now. I got too many other things going on. But now that it's in Cassie, how am I not going to do DeLorme? I'm at least going to start doing my own state. I'm going to have to.
You have to.
So I'm not sure if I'm happy or not about this one because that's something else I got to do. So.
Well, there's states that I've finished, but I never finished the DeLorme. So
you got to start all over.
They're screaming at me that, how dare you not finish DeLorme? You finished all the counties. What's your deal? Why didn't you finish DeLorme? It's like, people don't know DeLorme. I think they still actually make the DeLorme paper.
It's owned by somebody else now, but yeah.
They're giant books and they were basically square-ish or rectangular-ish pages in DeLorme. And so somebody converted that to the actual maps and then Nick had to go through the process of also converting them into cache.
Well, one of my beta testers actually has, Rich Reagan has a JavaScript overlay for Chrome extension. And he was nice enough to let me use all of his data. So I converted his data and then pulled that into Cachely.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
And there are, correct me if I'm wrong, Jesse, but there are still pre-moratorium challenges out there.
Many, many states have DeLorme challenges as current active challenge caches.
Right.
I don't believe all of them. I think we were talking about that earlier. I don't believe all of them do. But
Hawaii doesn't. We figured that.
I'm sure there's a list out there of them all.
Yeah. Tom mentioned about Texas. I'm the same way, buddy. a few years after I finished Texas County Challenge, then I finished the DeLorme. So that's one that, because you, for those that don't know, you can finish all the counties and not find all the DeLorme pages. Trust me, pretty much all my count, all mine are that I've finished. Oklahoma, Texas, they're all missing on the DeLorme. But hey, I get to go back and fix it. I get to finish them now. So, all right, moving on. I'm going to go through these and then let you, Nick, mention what you'd like to talk about on these. So, on the list was online lists.
Online lists. That one's not necessarily the 8.0 feature, but that's something that we've always had for quite a while. So that pulls down the, you know, geocaching.com list.
Yeah, it probably just came in on my list there, but auto load live map.
Yeah, so that's kind of what the, you know, official app has, where you can just slide your map around and caches will start loading. Ever since 1.0, Cachely always just had a reload button where you'd have to manually tap it. Right. And we still have that. That's the default, but you can turn that off and just live load. So, you know, you need to be zoomed into a certain zoom level. You can't do it for the whole world and expect for them all to load.
Right.
So there's some restrictions. And if you're not close enough, the little live button will be kind of darker, blacker. And when you get close enough, it will be red and you'll see a little loading indicator.
Sweet.
Yeah. So it's just a nice way to be able to load them quickly. And also for people that want to drive and just have it loading as they're driving, that's a helpful tool.
That was my next question. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You already answered it.
Yeah, I got to tell you, that is so super quick doing the auto load on that one. And as you were talking about DeLorme and old big books.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Right here, man.
Nice.
That's wild.
You probably actually have a GPS too.
Yeah. Who doesn't? Are you, wait a minute. You don't?
I'm a 100% day one. Well, not day one, but, iPhone cacher. I don't have a GPS anywhere that I can find. I can tell you that.
I got one. I don't think it works anymore, but, yeah, wild. So offline map searching was something that was added. Is that right?
Yeah. So that's basically just searching the map data of the offline maps within your screen. So it's not searching the entire map, because some maps are just, say, Texas. That's a massive map. And there's tiles in data form, probably millions of them. So we're not going to sit there and search the whole state. And again, there's a minimum zoom that you can do it at. So you zoom to a certain location. You want to look for something like a trail or, or if you're, you know, me, I love hiking. So I might search for waterfall or something like that. And it will find those features that are within the app offline maps file. So if you're completely offline and you're looking for a feature that you know is on the map, that's a really useful tool. And it's something you can toggle on and off. It doesn't have to always be on. So because Cachely has, you know, where you can search for things like, you know, something in your state, and it does a live search to Apple servers and brings a coordinate back and we'll zoom the map over there. So we have that, and then you can toggle that off and turn on the offline map searching. So.
Cool. Yeah. And something I kind of did I went down the rabbit hole on, which I suggest everybody do. It's in the show notes where you can go find a lot of these screens that are so well done, but I wanted to talk about this one a little bit because I, again, went down the rabbit hole. Contours and hillsides. I love this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those are just to enhance the, you know, the look of the map. So if you don't download those, which I call the extras, they don't come with the initial offline map download, because often they're quite a large file.
Sure.
If you don't download them, the map looks fairly flat. You know, we're used to seeing kind of a 3D feature. When you download them, you'll get, you know, the shading, you'll get the contour lines with the, you know, the heights, the elevations, things like that. So it really does enhance the map.
It does. And then there's options you can add. There's layer options down here, which I thought was great.
Yep.
So you've got contours, hillsides, you have different points of interest and different points of interest types.
Yep.
And there, some of them are listed over here, but you can search for a point of interest.
Yeah, and toggle them on or off. Yeah.
Okay.
And one thing that is missing from those screenshots, I think this is needs to be updated, but they in 8.0, we have trail lengths. So if you're on a hiking trail, it'll actually say the distance of the trail. And that's something you can turn on and off. And, and in a future version, we're also going to set a minimum. So really short lengths, you can hide those because it's kind of unnecessary to see something that's, you know, 0.01 length of a mile. Nobody cares about that. So just adding additional customizations for users for that.
Oh, man.
Wow. Because people like John, who might be interested in trails.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just going to say contour lines. I was catching up on Logging Earth caches, and there was one where you had to look at different elevations.
Yeah.
And now looking at this, I'm like, man, I should have used Cachely like at that time to, to go through and like taking a look and then to calculate that.
Well, also, there's another elevation feature in Cachely. If you long press and drop a pin, and when it pops open the little description, you can tap on the dot, dot, dot menu, and it will show you elevation for where you drop the pin. So
what?
Yeah, maybe it's not in the dot. I think it does it in the subtitle. So, yeah.
see, this is awesome. Like learning all these tricks and everything. And Nick, I got to ask you: point of interest is pizza places on your points of interest?
I knew that was coming.
You wish it was. But no, that's okay. Point of interest. Yeah, you can just drop a pin, and then it makes the subtitle of the pin the elevation where you drop the pin. So
good grief.
Well, that's an online feature. You can't do that offline, but that grabs data from a server.
It always comes back to pizza. I love the 3D maps. 3D maps have been around for a while.
They have. Yeah.
Yeah. They just listed here. I love that. Yeah. I mean, that's such a cool, especially for urban caching. That's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Looking here, Gary, I have a.
Yeah, go for it.
I have a link. I just put it in the chat. Pull up on that page because that I think the docs that you're loading. I haven't updated, and that is my fault. Pull open this other page that has more of the screenshots from 8.0.
Sweet. I will do that right now. And we'll pull up this one. But
I did not previously realize the elevation thing was in there. How long has that been in there?
Probably since 7.0. Yeah. You can also look at elevation of a cache. If you go to the additional details of cache, elevation will also load for individual cache locations. Mm. So
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's pull this one up as well. I think it was. I think I did have this one, but it's worth worth going through.
Yeah. So this is the original blog post that I kind of outlined all the 8.0 features and did a bunch of more screenshots. So
sweet. Yep. Yeah, it tells you about the pricing, which is great. Now, if you bought, well, I think this came up and probably a good thing for you to mention since we're on this page right here, Nick, is that people, a lot of people bought maps before.
Yeah.
How does that incorporate into Pro?
Sure. So we're moving that over to a subscription. The people that have purchased it previously, they're able to keep those maps that they had downloaded on their device and continue to use those. But beyond the ones that they had on the device, any sort of updating those or downloading additional ones, we need to move them over to the offline maps only subscription. Okay. And again, if we think of it by dollars, it was an original $3 purchase, which is very insignificant. But when it becomes many, 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 many users, and I have you know, bandwidth costs, server hosting costs, and multiple servers that are generating the maps, the cost was becoming so great that Cachely was losing money. And at one point I considered shutting it down completely because it was just, it was not making the revenue to take care of itself. So but the only path forward was to move to a subscription model to at least bring in a small amount of revenue to continue, to support these services. So I really didn't have a choice, and there's been users that have been really frustrated about that. And, you know, if people are still frustrated, I'm happy to talk to them about it. And we can work something out. I really, really dislike frustrated users or people that are unhappy with Cachely. But it just wasn't sustainable how it was previously. So,
If you buy the yearly though, you get the maps.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Just remind me, I want to, I guess make sure and emphasize that if you get the yearly, which to me, I think is dirt cheap, $14.99 a year.
Yeah,
steal. You get the maps too. So that think about that. You're saving there's $10 right there, and you didn't have to get the, because you really need the maps. I mean,
yeah, and I think as we'll talk about for 8.1, there will be continual features that will be rolled over into Cachely Pro, cool. You know, as time goes along. Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. We'll get into 8.1 here in a few minutes. So the pricing we talked about. So, yeah, the Pro offline maps I love. Your updates are great on this. So we kind of talked about. Stop me when I get to a spot you want to.
Yeah.
Miss something.
I'll mention something about trails for the Pizza Ninja. Yeah, keep on scrolling down.
The trail man.
So there's an enhancement that we did on trails. I mentioned the distances on trails. But they're also, especially for European countries, a lot of them use these little flags or indicators for the trails, or, you know, signs that are physically on the trails.
Oh, yeah.
Now Cachely actually picks up these little indicators. And scroll down a little bit further and it should show.
Really cool. Oh, yeah, the trail symbols.
Trail symbols. Yeah, yeah. So,
oh, cool.
I think that is in Connecticut, where I do a bunch of testing of the maps for Connecticut. But yeah, it has they correspond to physical trail signs.
That's awesome.
And that's another feature you can turn on and off if somebody could care less about them or if they really appreciate them.
Oh, man,
but that was another request I had from some, I think they were German users that really wanted to see that because it's used on their trail systems everywhere in Europe. Right. So.
Yeah, John's been working with, it's in New York, right, John, your trail system?
Yeah, trail system, and I recently joined the board of the directors of the Erie to Pittsburgh Trail Association as well, too. So we're looking to complete a trail over 240 miles long between Erie, Pennsylvania, and Pittsburgh that comes up to New York and then comes down. And the cool thing about that is that will connect to the Great American Rail Trail. And the one thing I always say to folks is more trails equals more caches and more fun. So.
I agree. I love trails, and some of these things I build for myself. Actually, the distance feature, I always go on a backpacking trip with some buddies each summer, and I just really wanted to know how long some of the trails were, like the little parts of the lengths. So I actually built that because I wanted it. So hopefully others find it useful too.
Hey, and we talked about the Appalachian Trail, on Podcast of Hope, and that's a long trail. I mean, and there's stuff out for there for that, but it's kind of cool to have it on your phone. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
We talked about counties and then regions too, something we didn't really, I guess.
Well, in other places, other countries, they don't call them counties. So that's why we're having to do both.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the way that I built Cachely for these, it's easy to drop in new countries. If I have those data files, it's pretty easy just to drop them in and add them as an additional option in Cachely. So.
Very cool.
Always looking for new countries as long as there's accurate data.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was reminded that in Louisiana, it's parishes. It's like,
whatever.
Well, that's right.
I'll speak your local lingo for you.
Yep.
Delorme grids. There you go. Delorme grids in there. Love that. Well, I'm like Jesse. I don't love it because I'm missing some. But
now it means I have to do it. So
I mean, and for those that don't know, if you're on here, I'm sure there's other. You know, I don't think the main app does this, but you've got you get the FTFs listed as as. Go ahead.
I don't think the official app does that. No.
No, and I don't see you on here. But if you look on your own maps at home, you know, pull it up. Follow along at home with us, but you'll see where if a cache hasn't been found in a long time, it'll show up as what we call lonely. That might be a lonely one, right?
Yeah.
There. Love that item. The live maps.
Live maps. Yeah.
Yeah. That's very cool.
Not to jump ahead, but is live maps going to work with CarPlay? How would that interface?
Yes, it will.
Okay. I know we're going to get to that later, but I had to ask the question because I'm going to be using the crap out of it. So,
sure.
And you've got a list about an updated user interface. 8.0 brings a modern feel to Cache's user interfaces.
Yeah. So everybody that's on iOS is probably used to kind of just the rounded edges of things. And Cachely 7.0 wasn't using that, which when you compare it, the old version, and the new version, you do kind of realize it. And it's a subtle change that some people might not even pay attention to. But sure. If you were on 8.0 for a while and you got suddenly flipped back to 7, you would think, boy, this looks old. honestly, because I have another phone that has 7 and I get on there and I'm like, boy, this looks really, really sad. So
that's awesome that you did that.
Yeah.
So you've added a lot. I mean, obviously Maps is huge, you know, Cachely.
Yeah. And some of these features, you know, we categorize them so people could just look through them quickly. And some of them are small, some of them are big. But you know, especially on this post, I didn't go into the nitty gritty details of every single one of these because some of them are small.
Interesting too, the proximity alert. I know, I think Carson had, was commenting or was interacting with someone about proximity alerts or mm-hmm. I saw this thing. I never use them. I don't know. Jesse, you ever use a proximity alert?
No, I don't. So I was actually going to ask about the same thing. Since I'm one of the people that I'm asking about this time, can you give us a general idea of what that is? Because I know a lot of people that don't use that feature and they're probably missing out.
Yeah. So it's just, you can set up an alert for when you get close to a cache. And so you can, put your phone in your pocket. And if you have your Apple Watch on or not, it'll alert you. So I have an Apple Watch and so it'll actually send me a notification that I'm within that radius that I set. So say I did, 50 feet. And I get within the 50 feet radius of a cache, it'll alert me. And so then I can actually pull out my phone and then start navigating better. So people use it for riding their bikes. They use it for hiking, different scenarios where they don't want to just sit there holding their phone in their hand. And they know a cache is in, you know, up a trail and you just put it in your pocket. I use that all the time for trails. I don't want to have my phone and just continue to look at counting down the distance. And you can change the radius, you know, the distance from the cache. You can do whatever user selected or typed in number you want. Mm-hmm. So it's really just helpful for that feature to put away your phone and just enjoy the travel to the cache. And then you'll be alerted when you get there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And that proximity is just to the nearest of any cache, right? It's not a particular cache. It's anything you come near.
Yeah. Yep.
Kevin mentions Captain Math mentions about proximity for kayak caching, which is great.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You don't be staring at your phone when you're kayak caching.
No kidding.
I would never do something like that.
You would never do that.
No.
And how you set it up, it's it's in more. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a setting, or you can actually when you're on an offline list, you can just long press on, there's actually a proximity button. It looks like a cache pin with some circles around it. So you just long press on that and it'll actually turn it on with the default settings. And then if you tap that button, you can change the defaults.
That's sweet.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Aid was asking about proximity. Does the screen have to be on or can it be off in the pocket?
You can turn it off. Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Gene's asking that's the MyFinds. So we mentioned earlier about there's several methods used to import. You can do it through do a MyFinds pocket query on geocacher.com, and you can bring it in that way.
Yeah, and then as soon as that's ready for download, which is almost immediate.
Yep.
Import it right into Cachely, and I mean it'll be. I think it's called your files. Is that what it is?
Yeah, the files app you can pull.
That's the natural one, the native one on Apple. Yeah.
Yeah. So essentially, if you're doing it on your phone, you can download it, it'll pull it into files, and then you long press or view that. It's a zip file, I think, and then choose to share that with Cachely, and they will pull it open in there.
Yeah.
Or you can go the other way around. You can download it to files, go to Cachely, choose import, and then choose the file app, and then you can browse for where that file was. So there's multiple ways you can do it. And and one thing I wanted to mention is that there is one little workflow that currently does not work. And that would be people that want to submit a draft to the website. They then like to go to their computer and type out their long log and then submit it on the website. That will not log it in Cachely as a county because there's currently no interaction that I know that somebody submitted on the website. So in that case, currently you would have to either manually mark that cache that you found it for that county. But in a future version, I'm going to be pulling in the data for recent finds and then just automatically mark those as county finds for those people that like to do it on the website. Cool. So that currently is in development. Yeah.
I like it.
Very nice. Yeah, and we'll get to some of those. And then just a quick reminder that all these links will be in the show notes. So, and the show notes will be up a little later tonight. If you go to geocachetalk.com, and you'll find at the top, go up in the top part of the options, and you'll see one for the show notes show. Then you can go download and make a copy, however you want to do that, or just make a reference to it. Jim mentions about many times on a trail, I have to walk back a couple of feet because I walk past. Sorry, Jim. Cashly, maybe 9.0 or 10.0 will find the cache for you and sign the log.
Yeah, Cashly AI will do that.
Yeah.
Until then, you're going to have to find him yourself.
Is Cashly AI, Nick, the one that pairs with the drone with the arm that grabs the log for you? And
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It opens up the old like peanut butter jar automatically.
Right.
Yes. Pulls out the log. It's all wet. Yeah. Signs it. Yeah. No problem.
How about solving puzzles for you? Because I could use that feature.
that one you still got to do in your brain.
Oh.
Yeah.
God, Jesse.
All right.
Now, I don't know if this is a good thing, Trent. Trent says that the proximity alert could be useful even when you're just wandering around a city with non-caching family.
That's a very useful feature. Because I will straight up do that, because you get busted. Every time I'm walking around with non-caching people, they're like, what are you doing on your phone?
Exactly. They think you're just playing around.
Now I can just visit. Hey, guys, I'm going to step in. Go use the restroom over here. I'll be back. Yeah. I'll be straight up sneaking that around.
Yeah. And Tom. Tom doesn't want puzzle talk to go away. So
I didn't hear. I didn't say that out loud. Never mind.
Yeah. You didn't say that loud. I didn't hear it. I don't know what you're talking about. All right. So, let's move on. I love all the filters too. Nick, there's some great filtering options, live search filtering, Adventure Labs. I've told the story before about, me and Super Nate walking around Longview with Cashly. We don't have to worry about the Adventure Lab app. We would just use Cashly as our Adventure Lab app. And we were going in between all of the Adventure Labs.
Yeah.
And not having to know what the name of this Adventure Lab is. We don't know. I mean, we did like 5 adventure labs in the span of a group of city blocks. And it was only because we just found them as we went. We didn't have to like stop and go, okay, what adventure lab is this one for? Cause it's not the same as the one we just did. And we just,
I've done that. So I just did that recently on a trip, and there's no way I would have been able to go. Like, I was able to look at all the labs. We already walked like 8.5 miles doing this. It would have been 40 miles if I had to try to go back and miss them and go back and start over. That's for labs. It's very, very useful.
Oh, it's great. It's tremendous. Yeah.
I got to give a shout out to Nick on the show cache radius one. Love that feature. That's one of those, especially when I'm hiding caches, pop up the show cache radius. Cause you're always thinking when you're hiding one, is this going to be so close to another cache out there? And when you can see those cache radius circles around there, and then you're walking like that, just like a couple feet out or 10 feet out, and you find the sweet spot and you're like, this is perfect, you know? So that's one of my features. I love, Nick, when I hide caches, is the show cache radius.
Yeah. That one's awesome. Been around for a while. I think probably at least the last 5 versions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been great. Another quick reminder as we're going to transition to 8.1 here in a moment, but if you have any questions as we start to get sort of toward the end of the show, make sure you send them in the chat room, and we will put them. We have a listing. So if you sent one in and you're like, why haven't you got to my question yet? We are going to get to them. So please be patient with us as we get to them. We have several starred. They're starred or marked that we're going to get to them here when we get to the questions. So there you go. We'll get to that. Into the logs part. You've got, I do. And some of these, like you said, been around. I love that you have the heart on the log. Yep. If you favorited them. I don't use, and this is really for another show, so take a drink, Jesse, but great shows and helpful buttons. I don't.
Yeah. I don't know how many people actually use those, and HQ always had that as a like experimental feature.
Yeah.
And I don't have any stats on that about if it will continue to be an experimental feature or if they'll ask partners to remove it from their apps.
Yeah. But don't know.
I think it ties in with social media type of thinking, you know, people, you know, thumbs up a post or heart it or whatever. Yeah,
exactly.
So, love it.
Yeah.
You love it?
I love it. Yeah.
I don't care. But
I mean, the only thing that I would find helpful is that you can change the sorting and you can sort like the helpful ones to the top.
Oh,
so,
okay.
You know, some people might appreciate that. And then the log might have good information in it. So that's in that sense, it's good, but only if people have been favoriting them.
That's
or
true.
Saying it was a good story. So
yeah. Well, I'll tell you, as a CEO, I mean, yeah, it's for another show. I love to put great logs on there when people or great story when people write great stories.
Yeah.
Right.
My gosh.
Agree.
Update log type names for needs maintenance and needs archived.
Yeah, those were HQ updated their naming for those.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. They did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
So
Got
to keep up with those little things.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, did you get like a list from them of like, here are the things you need to do?
Yeah, so they send out API partner emails every so often, just letting you know what's updating on the API. Yeah.
Very cool. There's so many things in here that are so great. Keywords, trackable logs have keywords available. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So, and some of these again are just kind of small enhancements. Like for example, the offline list,
yeah,
the option to kind of lock the deleting all of your offline lists. We've had some users where they've accidentally tapped the ... on the offline list page, click delete all, and then they were all gone. And I don't know how that was a mistake, but they said, you know, hey, let's just lock that. And
I'd be just
on or off in settings. Yeah. So
are you sure you want to delete these?
Yeah. And there is a confirmation as saying, are you sure you want to do this? And apparently they, you know, they went through all those hoops and still deleted them all, but
still deleted them all. No, put them back.
Yeah.
A lot of good impact GPX, available, items for that.
Oh, one thing I wanted to, I think we maybe scrolled past it, don't worry about scrolling, but that I wanted to point out is in the past for pocket queries, for those people that use those, the only option was to download the full data for those. So it would take a little while, Cache would reach the API, it would pull down data for those.
Okay.
Now there's an option to just use the zip file. So the original format is a GPX. So you can actually turn that on and Cache will pull that data down just in seconds. And it's not full data. But it has a little bit of data, and then you can go update that in your offline list if you choose to, if you need all the logs, you need all the images, that kind of stuff. But you can now download that just much quicker than previous. So I actually use that all the time to get this recurring pocket query I have for my kids, and just download in that format. It's just much faster and easier that way.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The zip. Yeah. That is perfect.
So again, it's a user changeable option. So somebody can either take it or leave it.
Yeah. I love it. You're always careful, which I love. And we've talked about them over the years about Apple Watch.
Yep. And I'm in a coming version, I'm going to do a bunch of enhancements because there's a lot of ideas that I have just for the Apple Watch, including not having to be in the vicinity of your phone. So currently, your watch needs to talk to your phone to get an API key to talk to the API. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have your phone, there's an error. And for the people that have, you know, like a watch that connects for mobile, I'm going to have a way that you can just leave your phone in your car. You can go caching with just your watch and it will still, you know, you can load live caches and log things. Oh, so
that's cool.
It's probably a small subset of people who care that much and actually don't leave their, you know, leave their phone in their car, which is pretty rare, but I've had requests for that. So
it's just, yeah. But also just in general, it's cool that I like the fact that it does these different Apple Watch things. I don't know, Jesse, you still use your Apple Watch at all? Or
no, although Cashly still works, my Apple Watch does not. I have to get a new one. But in fairness, I have the original Apple Watch.
Oh.
No numbers behind it, just Apple Watch. I have the original. So
yeah, Cashly doesn't work on that.
It doesn't work anymore, really.
No, probably not. That's way too old. But Kevin does ask, it's a timely question. He asked what version of the watch is necessary.
It's not, let me look at my code here. It's not a a version of the watch. It is the version of watch OS, and that is 8.0. Oh. So if your watch can take 8.0 of watch OS, then it will work.
Here you go, Kevin. Perfect.
Yep. And another one of the other features that I want to mention is the Wearago integration. So Cashly now has an option to download the cartridge right from Cashly. And if you have the Wearago app installed, it'll pop you over to that app and start the download of the cartridge right away.
Nice. So
has integration there.
Hmm.
Yep.
Jesse?
Yeah, obviously, I'm going to be using it.
Knew that was coming. Hey, he set you up. This is a softball. Yeah, I wanted you to knock it out of the park.
I'll be using that feature. I don't know how many people do because they won't go out to where it goes, but that's a whole other show. But yeah. Anyway, we can move on. We know my opinion on that one.
Well, now that it's been, like you said, now that it's all kind of been integrated, where I goes are so much better now. With the changes in the apps, it's really,
yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
if they would just do a little programming on the back end of it, it'd be great.
Yeah, but
that's a different story.
The front ends are so much better now than they used to be. Think of the days.
They are absolutely.
Yeah.
Remember the old Alpha thing we had to use? Ugh. So much better now. Okay. Well, I want to leave some time for a few 8.1 question in our questions, but is there some other things in here, that I don't want to, we're about to come to the 8.1 part. So,
yeah, let's just go to 8.1.
Okay.
That'll be a good discussion.
Yeah. I guess I was the first one that came up and was mentioned earlier about CarPlay. So tell us a little bit about what you had to go through for CarPlay and going on with that guy.
Yeah, so you essentially have to apply to Apple and tell them your use case and what you'd be doing. And I applied many, many times over the years. I think it's been about 3 years. And finally, I think it was in December, I got an email from them saying that it was approved. So that was
cool.
Excellent. Awesome. And before you're approved, you can't even start development because they give you this special file that then somehow syncs to their website and allows the code to work. So you could look at the documentation, you could do all that kind of stuff, but as far as writing code and testing it on even a simulator isn't possible until Apple allows it. So now,
that's sweet.
Yeah, so now I can test all that. I have an actual CarPlay wireless unit that I use for testing.
Nice.
And people are now asking, when will 8.1 be out? And I have to say, I cannot even say, but I hope not too long, as far as like the amount that it took me to come out with 8.0, it won't be that long,
right,
with 8.1, because there's three big features that I have mentioned for 8.1, and this is one of them. So I can't even say, but again, this will be a big undertaking because CarPlay is kind of a whole nother code base. It's right. Using different interfaces and things I haven't worked too much with. And you have a lot of limitations. You can't just build anything you want. There's templates that they force you to use, which is a good thing because they want people not to be distracted when they're driving.
Yeah.
I think it's based on laws and transportation laws, things like that. So sure. You have to use kind of their templates and then put your data into those templates, which is fine because then it makes a consistent kind of user interface for people. So
cool.
What do you think it will show then? Just a lot like a map that you can see, or what do you think it'll be allowed to have in that?
Yeah. So I was allowed to have a navigation type app, which means I can pretty much use any screen from map screen, list screens, Siri screens, what they call detail help screen. So pretty much I can do anything that CarPlay can do. I imagine basically your startup screen will be a map. It'll live load caches around you. You could tap one of the caches or even have a list pull up of the caches. You can view a cache if you want to log it. You would do that all by voice using Siri.
That's awesome.
We'll also be able to pull in offline maps. So if you have offline maps and you want to view those, that you have loaded on your device, those will work as well. Online lists, offline lists, all that kind of stuff you'll be able to view. So
oh, man.
It'll be fairly full-featured, is the plan.
Will it have you can do because labs. You have the labs when you're driving around downtown. It'd easily just nap. Oop, we got another one around this corner. Another one around this corner. That's gonna be nice.
Yeah.
Nick, will you be able to in CarPlay set up for? I'm envisioning it's called FTF mode, where by default you have it come up and it just shows you like a list of the FTFs
right
away for navigation. And you just,
here we go.
You
probably could
in and go.
Yeah. We could there do
you
that. Go.
He's not joking. You probably can, yep. John.
Yeah.
How sweet would that be? Every time you got into your car, it's like FTF 229 miles. You wish to go.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Get going.
You have a Tesla, it'll just drive you there.
That's true. Or in the case of Jesse, it brings up a DeLorme map and it says
current county
you want to go to right now.
Page.
Take me to pizza, and it takes you to pizza. It's in the list. I mean, it's in the point of interest.
Feature. Yeah,
I would appreciate that one. Just saying.
I figured you would. Another part of 8.1 multi-user logging.
Yeah. So that'll be, you know, the use case for this was my son has a geocaching account now, and he will have to log off my account, log into his, write his log, you know, submit it. And then I'm like, well, yeah. Now, you know, hand my phone back to me so I can do mine. I got to log out of his account, log back into mine. So this will make it much easier where you can log in multiple users. There'll be one main user, say, you know, the adult. Sure. Then you can add your kids and maybe, you know, your other family members to the accounts screen. And then when you come up for creating your log, everybody can put in their own custom text or templates or things like that. And then you'll submit them all together and everybody's log will go to their account. So just kind of a quick and easy way to, especially for family caching, is really
big. Yeah,
absolutely. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. And then location tracking, importing.
Yep. So this one, especially I've had users requesting, you know, can I import a tracks file so that then I can follow that tracks file and find caches, because they've created this tracks file in some other app or something else. And I've just, you know, for years I've just said, it will come. And so this feature will be able to import as well as record your own tracks and then export those. So it's really going to be full features in those three areas, but it will also integrate with the health app. So if you're have an Apple Watch on and you're, you know, walking a trail, you know, you can get your rings for the day by geocaching. So that'll be helpful as well. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's, you know, something that it came up in the thing. And so if somebody wanted to tell me if this is what's part of this, but if I did my recording of tracks,
yep.
I could then export my tracks and give it to somebody else and they could follow what I did.
Yeah.
So, Jesse, if we had that, people,
I know what you're going to say. There's no way you can publish a cache like that. Stop it.
People could have.
One, that would require somebody to upload a file. And two, that would require everybody to have cache link.
People could have experienced the frustration, or not frustration. We had a good time, but still, people could have experienced the circuitous route that we took.
Yes,
to find your last Jasmer.
Hey, we all do that. So
another use for this feature is updating OpenStreetMaps. So people will maybe go on a trail that isn't actually on Cachely Maps.
Right.
And if they record that track, they can then upload it to OpenStreetMaps, and then that will be rendered out and integrated into Cachely Maps that somebody could download. So I'm actually looking in to see if there's an API where you can actually just then submit that track right from Cachely into OpenStreetMaps, but I'm not sure if that's available.
Man, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
All right, let's do some questions. I know we're kind of going over tonight, but that's just the way of things.
I'll run through the questions here if we can.
Yeah, go for it.
My computer's going slow. Okay. So just a few. I'll just run through. Some of them are just comments, so not all my questions. Yeah. I'll run through them all though real quick, if this will work. They're thinking about switching. So that's somebody that wants to switch because their friends use Cachely.
Yeah.
Those are not bugs.
They're undocumented features.
Good one, Tom.
I like that one. Yeah,
go and read them because those are fun.
So here's one that's actually pretty interesting. I need to catch the mentors. The reason why I left that on there, somebody's already jumped in and been helping her figure out the question she had. But because she said mentor, there, where do people go in case we've had people join? They get Cashly and they want to get to ask questions, or how do they do that process?
Sure. I think the best place is to go to our Cashly Facebook page. So if you just go to Facebook and search for Cashly, there's a Cashly user group that's extremely helpful. I think there's over 4,000 people on there that will jump in to answer questions. There's also built-in help right in Cashly. If you go to the More tab, scroll to the bottom, there's a help and support section. That at the top of that page has documentation. You can browse or search. And then there's also at the bottom, there's links for our support forums and maybe the Facebook page. I can't remember. Yeah. So it's really the main ways of requesting support. And to that question, I don't know if anybody answered correctly what that problem was, but I know what that is. And it has to do with, she has full cache data turned on and then is requesting 100 caches. And that basically overloads the geocaching API. And I would still consider that a bug. And I've reported it to HQ many times. But they have told me just have your users not request so much data. So if she turns off either full data and can still request 100 caches, or if she wants full data on, turn that down to about 70 caches to request, and you shouldn't have that error anymore.
Awesome.
Yep.
So two more. One, somebody, Butterfly Girl says, is there something you have to do for a county to show as found? So we kind of talked about that already, but I think the GPX file that you're importing, if you import your MyFinds, that'll do the ones in the past. So she may not be talking about that. So that's how you get all those to show up, all those finds. The ones in the future, though, you just find a cache and it marks that county, right?
Yep. It should do it automatically. Cachely should do that without any additional work. There is a setting in the settings tab for Cachely Pro, and you can turn that on and off. So if perhaps a user had turned that off for whatever reason, it wouldn't do it automatically. But yeah, it's on by default, so it should happen automatically.
And all the old ones come out of the MyFinds, it automatically does it.
Correct, yeah. Okay. Yep.
This person was curious and said they see a dog in the window reflection. We see the dog on screen. So I actually did see that too a couple times. Saw the dog in your reflection or whatever.
Yeah, big black dog named Bear. He was probably running around outside. my kids are running around. So,
hey, watchers catch a lot of things. They see a lot of things in the background. I think that's the main. A lot of them that I starred, we've already answered along the way. People were asking questions, but then we got to it, though.
Yeah. So just a reminder, the Facebook group is great. I've linked all the ones, and I'll link the different medium.com links are in the show notes as well. So,
and Gary, one thing I want to mention, one of the support options is emailing support. That's on the More tab, and then help and support at the bottom. Yeah. However, I would say with anything, if people, can look for documentation or find help before they, request it from me directly, that is helpful because I do get a lot of support requests. So,
No, not out yet, Hugh. 8.1 will be coming out soon. Yeah, like that.
That's a relative term.
It is. On purpose, it's a relative term.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're working on that. And I know that, oh, wow. Thank you, Bruce. Bruce is going to buy it. Get it
tomorrow.
Thank you,
Bruce. Great.
Yeah, you will not regret it.
No, you won't.
Not at all.
No, it's.
You'll kind of wonder what you were doing, how you were doing it before.
Well, and that's the thing too. You know, Jesse and I, we've talked over the years, but, there was a question that came up in I think it was in the Cashly users group, which was, why do I want that over just using the geocaching app? Again, we're not bashing the geocaching app, but I started thinking about, how can I even write this? I'd be writing a book, It's like
there's a lot of differences.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, and there are just so many things that I just have gotten one, I'm used to using it, I guess, number mm-hmm. one. But number two is I just think there's so much, you know, again, the Longview situation is the one I love to use. And the fact that both me and Nathan, Lewis, Super Nate, we didn't bat an eye. Now, I've been in a situation with somebody who doesn't have, didn't have, Cashly, and the people I'm with have Cashly. So we're rolling, yeah. man. We're going from Venture Lab to Venture Lab. Cause sometimes the Venture Labs, unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know how you want to put it, but they're like clumped on top of each other. And some of them are like, you're literally standing in one spot and you can answer three different Venture mm-hmm. Labs.
Yeah.
And we're not thinking twice about it. We're just going, okay, the answer to that one is, you know, purple. Yeah. And the other person's like, wait, which one are you on? It's like, I don't know which one I'm on. I'm just answer the one that's in front of me. I don't know what it is. It's just the, you know, that's just it's just a beautiful thing that it just incorporates completely into all those things. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, let's go around, I guess, in some final comments, and we'll let Nick, our guest, go last. So, I guess I'll start, and I just did. So over to you, John.
Yeah. So, man, Nick, just got to show you a lot of love, man, for everything you're doing. I mean, the geocaching community is so awesome with so many people doing some incredible things, from everybody hiding to everybody finding. And for your app, I mean, can tell you personally, your app has made such a difference to me and all my vacations. Like I mentioned earlier, when I can get an FTF, that is like icing on the cake. That is awesome. You know, for hiding caches using the radius on there, I can't wait till CarPlay. Cross my fingers on FTF mode. Sorry to even suggest a thing as you're running on fumes, doing all your bug fixes. But one of the things that I don't think we talked about tonight is in Cashly, you can tip the developer. And yes. If you really enjoy everything that Nick's been doing on here, you know, with him and his team doing it, because really it's a passion project when it comes down to it, and something that we definitely appreciate. Think about tipping Nick. I don't know if those tips correspond to coffee and if coffee corresponds to productivity, but it may not hurt to even suggest that in a general sense. Yeah.
Or tea or whatever.
I like the coffee. Yep.
There you go. Yeah. See? Perfect.
So help him out on that side. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very
kind
for joining us tonight.
It's a great point.
Yeah, the switch over to this new model. I mean, it's, you kept it so low and reasonable for the price, but it'll keep Cashly going. Like I don't even think it's funny when you said I thought I was going to shut down Cashly. I don't like that at all. That never needs to happen.
I didn't.
But I mean, you kept it reasonable. It's like $1.25, I think, is what $15 breaks down to a month, or if you pay it by month, $1.99 or whatever. Yep. That is, you know, people are like, geocaching is a free hobby. That's a lie. If you're going to drive around and spend gas, you'll spend more driving to this than your next cache. You'll spend more driving to the next cache than, like, you know, this for a year. And again, like, this is not a one and done. You're always adding new stuff that's coming in from users. And the people that are doing this are, you know, if you're one of those that's really developing their own style of caching, that'll help you get it in or whatever. But I mean, come on, $15 a year, that's super cheap. I couldn't imagine I'm telling you to charge us more. I'm just saying it's worth a lot more. So it's a no brainer for me. I couldn't imagine not using it.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Yep. And I just want to say I couldn't do without all my beta testers and all the help of the community, especially on the Cashly Facebook group. They just helped me immensely. And my beta testers, all the feedback they give me, all the bugs that they find, I would never even find, you know, 1% of the ones that they find, because they're out there caching daily in different situations that I would never be in. And it's just a massive help. And also my volunteer translators. So thank you to all them. It's kind of a group effort. I know that I'm the one here talking, but I wish they could all be here too, because I appreciate all they've done to help me. So yeah, thank you to them.
And sorry, I had to go back. This is my, it's not OCD, but it's my, I don't know. I don't want you to call it, just so you can figure it out. But Nick was on 2/21/16.
Yep.
And that was my 1 year on also on cash and release. I don't think you'll ever. I don't think you're going to find this show anywhere.
I remember it because part of the show was people would choose like a beer to drink, and I don't drink, and so I chose a root beer. So I think it was like Virgil's root beer I had. So and you would like show it and you know say what you were drinking. And
yeah,
like,
here we
Virgil's
are,
root beer. So
there you go, 221 of 2016, cash release number 50, and we talked about. Whatever cash flow is, and we've done many shows since then. And Nick, I just appreciate the years of your support of Geocache Talk.
Yep.
We have it's been wonderful, and I do encourage people to go back if they're interested in some of the new, you know, some of the full other things we've done. You know, many shows on it, but you've been a great friend and a great supporter of us over the years, and we're always here for you, buddy. So
appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you. We're looking forward to and all three of us are just grateful for the new things that are happening, and looking forward to keeping using it. I mean, it's been great. And I'm like Jesse said, I don't know what I would. And when you said not have Cashly, I'm like, God, what am I gonna do? Like,
yeah. I gotta find a new hobby. What?
I think all of us, like, our heart stopped beating for just a second.
Right. I'll say that.
I only mention that because some people, you know, especially since 8.0 launch, some people get really heated over a $3 or $5 thing, and I say, you know, just to be transparent, this was the real deal. This is why I had to switch. It's a real, you know, real things happen in life, you know, where you're like, I can't afford this. And that was just the real situation. I said, I got to change it. So, I mean, that's just the honest truth.
It's the way it goes, but it's been wonderful. It's well worth it for those that are still using the geocaching app. We suggest if you're on, and somebody's mentioned earlier, if you're an iPhone user, I mean, come on.
It's a no-brainer. Yeah.
It's a no-brainer. All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Thanks again, Nick. We appreciate it. And we'll see everybody down the road. So good night, everybody.
Take care, everybody.
Let me push the right button. Here we go.
May your finds be many and your DNFs be few. May the terrain and difficulty both be less than two. And whatever it is you're looking for, may it find its way to you. And may we all meet again.
Folks, we hope you've enjoyed the show tonight. Please email us your comments at geocachetalk@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. The show can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Radio Public, or Spotify, as well as at the Geocache Talk website. Don't forget to click that subscribe button below and ring that bell notification so that you can see and hear the show on a weekly basis. And tell your friends about the show. Get them involved with us in the chat room. And until next week, don't just talk about geocaching. Go geocaching.